Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Miss 100%. You know, the illustrious one, queen of the little people. And tonight, we have a special guest. We have with us author Hannah Boss Lady Spivey. So if y'all want to holler at us, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. We encourage you to go to the Smooth Drama page, social network with us, Facebook, Twitter, Meet Me, wherever you want to go. Look up Smooth Drama, and you will find me there. If not, hey, I'm there anyway. But I know you ain't really trying to catch up with me. You're really trying to be involved with my illustrious and fabulous co-host. So, illustrious, fabulous co-host, tell them how they can be one of your subjects.
Well, they can always follow me on Twitter at the number 100%. Catch up with me on Facebook, Miss 100%, or email me, Miss 100% spelled all the way out, M-I-S-S 100% at yahoo.com.
That's it?
Well, that's not guaranteed that, you know, they'll become one of my loyal subjects. They'll have to prove themselves first.
They have to do that toe jam thing, right?
Right.
All right.
It's all the Jimmy Jam.
Well, you know, we can't start our day without talking about my favorite state. What's my favorite state? 100.
I believe it's Florida.
Yeah. Down in Florida, you know, it's a different breed. And in Orlando, Florida, specifically speaking, they have what they call the Combat City Gun Range, where customers are allowed to shoot each other with their own guns. It's using rubber bullets, but still, yeah.
Wow. I can see that going so horribly wrong.
Well, supposedly what they do is they check your guns beforehand. And they're modified to shoot only rubber bullets or dead lead, whatever the hell that is. Yeah.
Dead lead instead of hot lead.
Yeah, I don't know what the difference would be, and I don't think I'll be going to Combat City to find out.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess that paint gun stuff was not enough. They're like, nah, we need real bullets.
My goodness.
Or something close to it.
Like I said, I could still see this going horribly, horribly wrong. Stay away from Retardville. I mean, Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, they say that they're attracting a lot of women who are interested in learning how to defend themselves.
I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah, that's that stand your ground right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, this is how you shoot at people on the street. You can get your practice in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just so sad.
No, not at all.
There. Well, I'm staying far, far away.
You don't want to go hang out?
Nah. I'll pass. I will pass on that one.
All right. Well, now, have you ever thought about like having an exchange student live with you? You know, down in my favorite state, there's a little situation where the husband used the GPS on his wife's cell phone to find her, because I guess he was looking for her, and he found her having sex with their 16-year-old foreign exchange student in the car.
So, this GPS thing, because we've heard about this so many times where a husband has a GPS thing on his wife's phone where he can just find her wherever she is.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out how did this work out. Like, he just steals her phone and downloads the GPS thing onto her phone, and then, or does it remotely through an application? I mean, see, this is some bitch ass thing.
Yeah, well, they have, all phones have the GPS.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I guess, making it a, what they call a hotspot so you can locate it. There's programs that show everywhere you are.
Right. Yeah. That's what it is. Is there a couple programs out there that actually disguise themselves as one thing, but the real purpose of it is so that, like, there's this app that says, hey, keep in touch with all your family members and just send them this text message, and you'll be able to do, like, a chat with everybody on it. But really what it is once they accept that text message and they respond back to you, you can find out where they are regardless of the day, the time, the location. You can find them 24/7. I don't like that at all. So to me, that's just plain bitch ass. It's like you are just spying, just secretly spying on some.
It wasn't secretly. He put it out there. And the funny thing is about this situation, she's a teacher at a community Christian academy.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, that it was midlife crisis feelings for her behavior. And she also said the boy kept asking her for sex. And she hoped that he would stop asking if she went along with it. Because, as you know, 100, that's how you can stop men from asking you for having sex.
Yeah, that's like the only foolproof way of getting a person to stop asking you for sex is to actually give them some.
Yeah. Well, ask no more if you give it to them, right?
Well, right. It's like I can see her like, okay, boy, damn, you getting on my nerves. Come on here. That's just crazy.
Yeah. She got arrested, too, and got released on $15,000 bail.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, well.
She had a horrible day.
That she did. Good luck to you. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and speaking about midlife crises and, I guess, having horrible days, Lee Harvey Oswald, for those of you who don't know, he reportedly is the one who killed JFK.
Mm-hmm.
His girlfriend just put out a book, Me and Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, back in November 1963, he didn't go to the depository to kill the president, but to try to prevent his assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Said he was a hero.
Hmm.
I'm like, nah, he was a stupid patsy.
First of all, that's a swing and a miss. Because if he was a hero, JFK still got killed. So he was not a hero. Even if he was there to help or to try to prevent it.
Right.
Didn't succeed, so he's not a hero. But, okay, why is this important now when
Oh, well, this ain't even half. You know that she said she met Oswald when she was sent to keep a, he was sent to keep an eye on her because she was working on a project to inject Fidel Castro with cancer.
Mm.
Said that she was assigned to make cancer more deadly.
Wow.
Yeah, she had given mice lung cancer.
You know what? I know this lady sounds like totally, totally loony, right?
Nope.
But there's something inside of me that believes every word that she's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that. I mean, because I thought forever in the day that cancer was man-made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these things,
that's why you have so many forms of it. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, these things just popped up out of the blue. All throughout history, you haven't heard of people dying of these conditions with these symptoms. Now, all of a sudden, we got all this technology, and we've got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That just straight up is knocking people out the box.
Right. It's just, yeah. But I believe her. I just, for one, I never thought that Oswald did it to begin with. Like he said, I'm just a patsy. And I believe that. Like, come on now. It's so many things going on that's associated with dirty politics that people don't really, they don't want to open their eyes and see. Like the thing going on now with, was it General Petraeus and the other guy, you know, with the CIA and all of that. I don't think that they just so happened to be caught.
I mean, all that stuff is irrelevant. I'm like, yeah, they were having sex.
Right, it was sex. But the real thing is now they're saying that, you know, there's other stuff that's coming out that they leaked this and they leaked that. It wasn't no damn leak.
Look, you and I both know that's how pillow talk go. You know, after you didn't have sex, you gonna spill the beans.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to get dirty, I'm not giving a fuck about politics and nothing else. I'm just trying to get a nut off. I'm not really worried about anything else.
No. Like, yeah, what I'm talking about afterwards. If you're one of those people who are fortunate enough to not be kicked out, you got to go. The pillow talk. See, that's what I'm talking about. Pillow talk, everything gets spilt during pillow talk. After you done got down and dirty, you done got how many you was going to get.
I mean, but if you're really getting dirty like that, like, somebody should be fucking asleep or making somebody a sandwich or something. Like, it's, I'm just saying, it's to me, you have to be, like, super, super weak to let a piece of ass ruin your career, like, for you to open your mouth and start talking about stuff that you should not be talking about just because you got a good piece of ass.
But you said making a sandwich?
I'm like, somebody should be like, you know what I'm saying, making somebody a sandwich, or somebody should be in the shower or smoking a joint, smoking a cigarette, or everybody should be asleep. I'm just saying. I mean, come on now.
All right.
I can't see that. Like, oh, we just, yeah, that was good. So, Daddy, tell me what's next on your list. Like, who's the CIA going to kill next? You know, I mean, stuff like that. Come on.
Well, I'm just saying, I could see it happening because afterwards, they just talking.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
they're weakened. They're in a weakened state, and anything you ask them by that time, they're willing to just say anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know damn well, a man, after he didn't bust that nut, he'll say anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, you know, I killed 37 people.
Wow.
Yeah, it was this operation in Guatemala. Women and children, I took them all out. Whew, did I just say that?
That's just crazy.
Hey, that's the power of the P.
I guess.
Lose your mind afterwards, and then like, damn, why did I share all that? I was tripping. It's that other side. And speaking of that other side, we gonna go on break here. This is my homies, Radio Galaxy, off of their EP, Darkness, everybody. This is Hayden.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I'm Miss 100% Queen of the Little People, and that was Radio Galaxy. Hide.
Yep. Better run and hide. The other side of me gonna come out. You ain't gonna like it.
Yeah.
But ain't no worse than the other side of that loser, Mitt Romney, who is our hater of the week.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's a surprise to anybody, or should be a surprise to anybody, with what he pulled. Obama. I lost because Obama promised everybody stuff. I'm like, did you get that email with something promised to you or some kind of gift or whatever?
He didn't promise me a damn thing. As a matter of fact, the idiot said he had already given blacks gifts. And what the fuck do he mean by black? So every black person that voted for him had already been given some type of gift. And if they hadn't already received it, they're going to receive it because they promised to vote for him. I mean, are you serious? Like, come on.
Well, I was like, I ran to the mailbox. I was like, oh, I ain't checked my mail in a minute. It's got to be in there.
I haven't received the email, the text message, the phone call, the snail mail. I haven't received anything that said that I was getting a gift.
Yeah, I didn't get my gift either. No check, money order, none of that.
It didn't come Western Union.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say to Romney. Hey, I guess you didn't send us nothing. And that's what happened. So, I mean, because you only make them kind of claims when you did it yourself and it didn't work. So he put it out there like, shit, I paid all my Mormon folks. It was out there in force for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't enough.
It was just a little crazy to me that he, you know, failed to mention that the reason why he actually lost is because he just went after 53% of voters instead of going after all of the voters. Like, to him, 47% of voters, he called us victims. So he didn't want to focus on doing anything for us or promising us nothing or even campaigning towards us. All he was worried about was the 53% of people in his tax bracket. And they still didn't vote for him. So
yeah, we going to move on because we can't talk about his hating ass right now.
We can't talk about stupid for too long.
Yeah, we going to get our special guest, Miss Spivey, on here. Okay. Let me try something here. Yeah, because talking about Mitt, people who lose and are losers, well, not that he cares, because at the end of the day, he's going to go to one of his vacation houses and chill.
Right, right.
Well, anyway, we're going to get Miss Spivey on here, and we going to move.
Hello.
Welcome to Smooth Drama, Miss Spivey. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're good.
Great.
Hello, Miss Spivey. This is Miss 100%. Thank you for joining Smooth Drama tonight.
Oh, I'm very glad to be on.
All right. So I see your author and your hair in natural beauty advocate. What is a hair natural beauty advocate?
Advocate supports natural hair, anything all about promoting natural beauty as a whole, hair, nails, organic living. So it's just limited to natural hair, but it can be the things that you consume that isn't processed, that's organic. You know, I should eat more organic products. So I'm a huge fan of just being who you are.
So, in effect, you're saying that my extension is you, not for?
Well, I mean, people who aren't natural, I mean, you know, it's to each his own, but I just prefer natural hair because I've been natural for a few years now. I mean, I've been natural most of my life, but I went natural about 3 years ago. And I think it was the best hair decision I've made, and I'm just a huge supporter of people who transition into to the whole natural thing, because the natural hair is a huge community. It's a growing community.
Well, I was going to say, because I'm bald, but I was thinking about getting some extensions. You know, I saw that body, like, you know, but I can't be down with the natural crew if I got Bosley.
I mean, I've seen some natural hair women. They wear the, you know, natural kinky hair. They'll get the natural kinky hair extension. So,
yeah, probably not. Yeah, people don't normally get extensions to get natural hair.
No, I've seen it done. So,
yeah, so I. Tell us about your book, Not to Mess with You, Ebony the Beloved. I saw the premise of it, and I thought it was very interesting, being that it was dealing with domestic violence. You want to give us some snippets of it?
Pretty much. I mean, it's about a young girl. From what you've read, her name is Ebony. She is, you know, she grows up in a very dysfunctional household. Both of her parents are, they're like night and day. They're totally opposite. And the thing is, they don't really care for her. And, I mean, she's just the kind of girl who seeks love, who just wants to be loved and accepted. And the only one who gives her the most love and acceptance is this lady named Norma Lou, who works at her school. She's a school secretary. And she's like this guardian of, become like a guardian angel to Ebony, and she reminds Ebony often of how important and how beautiful she is. And she takes Ebony under her wings, and she later introduces Ebony to her niece, whose name is Tara, and she's a single parent and a domestic violence survivor. And she becomes Ebony's big sister, and Ebony makes this pact with Norma Lou and her niece Tara. And Ebony is, one day she goes to a benefit concert with Tara, who is an advocate for domestic violence survivors and domestic violence awareness. And this concert is being hosted by this big-time, well-known, powerful figure named Desmond Waltz. And Desmond Waltz is a spokesperson for domestic violence awareness. Well, on the flip side, he's very violent and he's very dangerous, but the public doesn't know that. And the one who pretty much gets the one who sees it is Ebony. She pretty much she's going to receive the end of his wrath. He has been very violent, very sadistic. He has a mother who's very controlling and very manipulative and money hungry, and she can't stand Ebony because she thinks Ebony wants to take her spot. So basically both of them are abusing this girl, and she's back to where she was, except she's in a worse situation. She's imprisoned by these two people, these two monsters. And, I mean, I say she takes so much abuse that she finally finds her way out. And I leave it at that.
All right.
And like I said, she wants to be happy, that's all.
All right. So basically she was in Florida and she stood her ground and made it happen.
Exactly.
All right. I can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes this domestic violence, and I know you as a domestic violence activist can agree that with these bullies, sometimes you just got to stand up to them. And
you have to
beat them with that eye for an eye.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
They generally leave you alone.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So how long you been writing?
Well, I've been writing. I believe I've always been a writer. It took me years to figure that out. I've been writing seriously. What I mean by that is I've been writing professionally. Since I wrote my first book, I've been doing that for like 3 years. 3 years ago is when I wrote my first book, which we're discussing right now. And I do plan to write more books, and I do plan to, promote the first book. This is the kind of book that I feel that will be a generational kind of book, because it's a very raw and unique kind of read, and it just brings a whole new type of freshness to the urban literature game, and that's why I feel this kind of, a book like this could never get old, because abuse is an ongoing thing. It's just something that so many people can relate to, so that's why I feel that this book, I can always continue promoting this book no matter how long it's been out.
Yeah, I think it's sad that it never gets old. You know, I for one would wish that it would get old.
I hope so. You know, I really do. I hope that it's something that that can go out of style.
Yeah, one can hope. So I know you said you was a ghostwriter. What does a ghostwriter do? I've always wondered. Hello? I think we have lost Miss Spivey here. Let's see if we can get her back. Yeah. So 100.
So yes, as far as the book raising awareness about domestic violence, this is a very positive thing that she's doing, because a lot of people think that domestic violence is just putting your hands on a female, but there are all different types of domestic violence, and the biggest thing that leads into domestic violence, like she said, she was in prison. Like, it was not just, you know, the hitting, but, you know, they were very sadistic, you know, and that's how it starts, you know, the controlling, the mind control, and, you know, the emotion goes along with it. And most of the time, people who are being abused, they are afraid to leave or afraid to escape their situation because of the mind control that the abuser has over them. And a lot of time you'll hear people say, oh, she's so stupid. Why doesn't she just leave him alone? I wouldn't be with anybody if they kept putting their hands on me like that. Well, you don't know, because an abuser has a very, is to them, abuse is a craft.
Right.
And, you know, manipulation is a tool, you know, and...
Well, I've always thought that abusers were predators.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and Miss Spivey, I see you back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were discussing 100, was just talking about the manipulations of the domestic, I guess we can call them domestic terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To make the name worse, because I think people think of terrorists as terrible people, and I think people who perpetrate domestic violence, they are terrorists themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then some people don't understand that there's a grooming process involved with domestic violence, just like with sexual abuse. A sexual predator, there's a grooming process of the person that's going to be the victim has to trust that person, spend time with them. Then the abuser takes time to get into their mind, you know, to figure them out, see what makes them click. and then they're able to basically dominate them through that process. And it's the same with domestic violence. A lot of women don't leave because they're like, I know what I have here. I know what my situation is now, but what if I leave and then I find myself in a worse situation? So it's a whole, like you said before, it's the terrorism. You know, it's the thought process, the mentality of the person that's been, I don't want to say the word victim because I don't like that word, but the mentality of the person that's being abused, most of the time that's the reason they don't leave. It's not that they're not leaving because they like to be hit. They're not leaving because they're so involved with this day-to-day process of being abused to the point where they feel that almost like they're betraying that person if they leave. And so they're afraid to leave because they don't know what's going to happen after they actually take that step to walk out the door. So
Ms. Spivey, in your books, you plan to fight against domestic violence. What made you want to take up this cause?
Oh, wow. There were different reasons that made me want to get into writing a book like this because, you know, I've read some pretty good books, you know, a pretty good urban literature books. Don't get me wrong, not saying they're not good books, but I wanted to write something that a different type of urban literature that just, you know, completely stands out. And I think what motivated me to write this type of book was reading, I'm not sure you're familiar with Mary Monroe. She's known for writing the best-selling book, New York Times best-selling book, actually, called God Don't Like Ugly. And it spawned into a series. And that and just reading another book by Kimberly Lawson Roby, which is called Deep Dark Secret, and just from my own personal experiences, you know, being verbally abused and being bullied at school are all what play a role in me writing this book. Because I said, when I write this book, I want this book to be completely, completely raw, relatable, and real. And just loving literature and just having a vivid imagination, all that, all of it is a melting pot, you know, for the book. So.
Right. All right. And so as far as the books go, where can we find you if we wanted to read some of your material?
You can find me on Twitter at Boss Lady Writer, like when you write something, Boss Lady Writer. I also have a fan page, which is Hannah Dorothy Spivey. Again, Hannah Dorothy Spivey. You can also find me on Facebook, my personal Facebook, which is Hannah Boss Lady Writer Spivey. And you can also email me if you have any questions about, you know, how to become a published author, about how to write a book, anything, you know, pertaining to literature. You can reach me at H as in holiday, D as in dog, Spivey, S as in Sam, P as in park, I as in ice, V as in victory, E as in egg, Y as in yellow at hotmail.com. Again, hbspivey@hotmail.com.
Okay, and if they wanted to buy your books?
They can find Ebony the Beloved, which is available on Amazon for $14, or they can download the ebook version on Kindle for 99 cents. If they would like to save a couple of dollars on the paperback copy, they can definitely order it on either through eBay.com or through BooksAMillion.com. I've written like three other ebooks. I wrote one called Payback to the Son of a Bitch. The other one is called Lloyd Tube, A Crazed Fan's Revenge, in parentheses. And I wrote another ebook, which happens to be one of my favorite ebooks. It's called My Sharia Moore. And they're all available on Kindle for 99 cents. And I'm also working on my second novel called The Bold and the Ugly Truths, which will be released in the first quarter of next year.
All right. Well, we definitely look forward to hearing from you. And I'm sure you gave out enough information, so if someone wanted to really stalk you, they can.
Definitely. Definitely.
But I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I wish you good luck, and I look forward to hearing more from you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, and I'd like to thank all the listeners out there, you know, for being supportive.
All right. Well, you take care, and look forward to seeing the movie one day.
Same here.
All right.
Okay.
Bye. Good
night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. All right. That was author Hannah Spivey. And on that note, we're going to go ahead on and take another one of those breaks, because I got to give 100 enough time to recover. You need time to recover.
Splash some water on my face. No, just
splash
some
water on your face.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
This is Ghostface Killer. We love hip hop.
Drama with your host, Mr. F, the N-word. I'm Miss 100% Queen of the Little People, and that was Ghostface Killer. We love hip-hop.
Yeah.
And now,
what time is it?
It's time for our Dumbass of the Week.
Uh-oh. Excuse me.
Pardon me.
Yeah, sorry about that. Couldn't help it. First dumbass of the week, man. This is a no-no. Man out of, and should have guessed it, he's straight out of Bangkok. I don't know. I couldn't live in Bangkok. It don't sound right. Anyway, this man, he injected olive oil to enlarge his penis. I don't know who told him. I mean, just say, man, I'm trying to get my dick bigger. What do you think you should do? Oh man, I inject olive oil in mine, and that shit just make you swell.
Make it swell,
all right. Yeah, so it got so big, and his testicle swells to the size of coconuts, and so he suffered a cut on his penis because it is swollen so much, but he refused to go to the doctor until it became infected. And they found out that he had cancer, and it required his penis to be amputated.
Wow. So did he die? Or he
just... He might as well have.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, there was a case about this. Remember last year we were talking about, I think it was last year, we were talking about the lady who was injecting the fake stuff into people's lips and all of that and butt.
Right, the fifth flat.
Yeah, the fifth flat. One of these parties, and I don't know if the two had anything to do with each other, but one of these fix-a-flat parties or whatever, there was a young black guy, 24 years old, who was actually injecting his penis with olive oil, and he did it so many times, I guess he used too much, and it, like, the last time that he did it, it killed him instantly. So, it's kind of common.
Well, I guess that it ain't common amongst me and my homies. I guess there are some folks out there that just feel like, hey, I gotta get my weight up, so they looking at the olive oil. That's just... Oof. Yeah.
It is not good for you.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, man, if you want to compensate, get your oral skills up.
Hey, I got a question for you, though.
All right.
What's grosser than growth?
What?
A hard one that ran out of skin.
Okay. man. Moving on to
the middle picture, you know.
That's horrible. I mean, it's worse than, but not as well. It's not as bad. Eric Hartsberg, who was the man who was smart enough to tattoo Mitt Romney's logo onto his forehead.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a pro wrestler out of Indiana.
What is Mitt Romney's logo? What does it look like?
It's an R. He was paid $5,000 to get it because he put his face up for sale on eBay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Romney Ryan tattoo and is there for his life. Just bam. You got the loser's tattoo.
Well, yeah, you just took the words right out of my mouth. So I'm like, so for the rest of your life, everybody, you're going to be known to everybody as a loser.
Well, you support losers.
Well, because, you know, people get tattoos to express themselves, and he got that. So he's conveying to the rest of the world that he's a loser.
I'm a creep. I'm a loser. He put his face for sale. I'm like, hold on. I mean, so I can't sell my penis, but I can sell my face.
Right.
So if somebody pays me $5,000 for my face. That's still prostitution. Last time I checked.
Depends on what I do to his face, I guess.
No. You're paying for the use of my body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that's what prostitution is. I have access to your body. So if he's selling his face on eBay, he's prostituting him. See, because I hate when they put these designations out there like, oh, okay, so prostitution only involves a vagina.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, because he offered up his face for 5G.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
Well, he really is a loser. Anyway.
Exactly. Sort of like Holly Solomon out of Arizona who ran over her husband because he didn't vote.
Right. Because it was his fault that Ms. Romney didn't win, right?
Pretty much. That one vote is what held Romney back in Arizona.
I thought Romney won Arizona.
Right. Exactly. So her running him over, like, well, shit, he won Arizona, so maybe we're missing something. Yeah. It just goes to show you, man. Folks is crazy.
Goodness gracious.
And speaking of folks that's crazy, Stephen Newman. He loves rhinoceroses so much that he's willing to skydive in 10-degree weather naked to save them from poachers.
Huh.
And, I mean, that's cool. You wanna save the rhinos, whatnot. But how come nobody's skydiving naked to save humans?
Right. It's people poachers out here all day, every day, and nobody gives a fuck about that.
Exactly. I mean, are we gonna have to break the mold 100? Are we gonna have to do a smooth drama naked skydive?
I don't know if that'll be pretty. That won't be nothing nice.
We so love the children. You talk about light in a place where the black on black crime is so violent and so prevalent, like a place like Chicago. You talking about like it's 10 degrees and you out there naked skydiving?
Wow.
You just out there naked. I mean, even with clothes on, 10 degrees is a bitch.
That's just kind of, I might videotape it, but I don't think I'm going to be joining you for that one.
I'm not, no.
Oh, you decided not to do it now.
No, that was hypothetical. Come on, let us be real here. Yeah, the skydiving in 10-degree weather, no. I will speak out like I always do. I wish the violence would stop. You know, and if the violence not going to stop, at least y'all need to go to Combat City in Florida and learn how to shoot correctly. So you, at least if you're going to perpetrate the black on black crime, kill the right people.
Right. Stop killing innocent bystanders.
Right.
And I wish. I get so tired of seeing people, I guess it's supposed to look thuggish when they take their gun and cock it to the side. That doesn't work. Stop doing that ignorant shit, please.
That just means that when real war happens, you're going to be one of the first ones to die. Because you worried about shooting to the side instead of just shooting.
Right, like you turn it, but you know what I mean. But,
yeah.
That's the most ignorant looking. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Definitely. And speaking of ignorant, Oliver Stone and Peter Kuznick are the co-authors of a book called The Untold History of the United States, and where they discuss how United States students, they don't know their history. They're historically challenged because we don't learn history here. Now, for me, I ain't had that problem. I mean, I grew up with the knowledge of my history, and it was conveyed to me over and over again in reading the books of the real history, because I don't give the founding fathers any credit at all. To me, they wasn't nothing but some terrorists, domestic terrorists also, because every last one of them bastards had slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as historically knowing my history and kids not knowing their history, it's not a shock, because history is written by the winners.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't written by the losers. I mean, and if it is written by the losers, nobody's reading it. It's not going to be something that's out there for the, I mean, obviously it's out there for the mainstream if they really, really want to read it, but as far as being part of the core curriculum, no.
Right. Well, so what is Oliver Stone and this other guy actually trying to say when they're saying that, you know, they're doing this, story about the real, to them, what is the real history? I mean, you know,
they talk about the history and what's glossed over. Like, they give an example talking about the atomic bombs that was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how they talk about that the United States put out the falsehood that the bombs were used to avoid 1 million casualties. When in actuality, the Japanese were desperate. They were looking to give up. They wanted to surrender unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. And they still blew them off the face of the earth anyway.
Yeah, because the United States had broken Japanese codes. And they were fully aware that the Japanese were desperate to just give up.
Wow.
But, you know, the Japanese emperor, he asked for peace. And they knew that the Soviet Union, if they invaded, they would finish him off once and for all. And they dropped the bombs so that Stalin and the Russians wouldn't get in.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that historically, the real history.
Okay.
What really happened.
And I know that you have a lot of disgust for J. Edgar Hoover.
just a little bit. I mean, obviously, J. Edgar Hoover and his COINTELPRO, which was not discussed in his movie. It's sort of like they have the Lincoln movie out now. I saw the J. Edgar Hoover movie, which was basically Brokeback Mountain. And Abraham Lincoln's movie is out, and I'm sure they're going to favor him lightly.
Okay.
That's the way it is, though. History is written by the victors, and all we can do as the losers is protest. And on that note, I want to thank Ms. Hannah Spivey for coming on, and for my illustrious co-host, Ms. 100%, the Queen of the Little People. I am Mr. F the N-word, and y'all know we smooth drama going hard in the paint, and I'm coming down the lane, and I'm going up for the alley-oop, and what they gonna get?
Stink face, bitches.
Peace.
I'll holler.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.